Beautiful. Welcome back, everybody, to the Swamp. It's been a while, but we're back with what we believe is episode 5, Joel.
Yeah, it's been a bit unfamiliar. I was writing the run sheet last night after a few pints. And it's just muscle memory, though, isn't it? You know, like riding a bike, right?
Copy and paste sort of job,
yeah. I think I copy and pasted it from a prior pod.
Yeah. Well, yeah, apologies to all our avid listeners. We've been getting a bit of stick for not doing the pod, which is, I suppose, a good thing, isn't it? I
mean, it's very hostile from Jack Phillips.
But no, it's good to be back. There's obviously been a lot on Christmas break, etc. But do you want to do the honours of introducing our fifth guest of the year, mate?
I was thinking about this on the drive down. How do you introduce this man? Look, in my experience, never have I seen a player come to a club have such an impact both on and off the field. Hailing from Wimbledon in the UK, which now I've become an avid supporter of Wimbledon Cricket Club. Right. But a man who brings a lot of joy and a lot of laughter to the club and a great bloke. Tommy Cooper, welcome to the pod.
Boys, thank you. That was quite an intro. Honoured to be here with you. Feels very professional as well. This is a good setup.
Look, we have to work with Tommy's agent. Like, it's hard to get him on the show.
Yeah, I'm media trained, so.
I remember Mick Wood asking about the podcast because he's got his own back home and he's like, oh, what equipment do you use? Like, how do you edit it? And I was like, oh, mate.
it's like Runaway Bay, you do a podcast. It's just GarageBand, mate.
GarageBand and some voice memos, that's about it. No, but it's great to have you on, Tommy. Obviously, it's been probably been a while coming, I'd say. Tell us about how you got here, obviously coming from England, and also your first game of the club, because I remember playing with you. It was pretty funny.
Of course. So I am, Joel Lee said, I'm a Wimbledon boy, so I'm from London. I played there from the age of 6 until I was 26, so 20 years with them,
was 2 decades.
Yeah, which was pretty awesome. I think I probably played for every single team, from the under 6B team to the fifths, and then all the way up to the ones in my last year there. So, it's a great place, and I was thinking about coming over. It was always kind of in the back of my mind, and kind of just got to the stage where I'd been living in London for 27 years, and thought, you know what, this is the time to do it. So popped on over, sent a couple of messages out, and the one that stuck was with Ollie Burtz, the left arm deportation. Mr. Visa himself. So I used to play against him when it was Wimbledon Guildford. Obviously, there's a lot of Guildford connections here with TC Elge and so on. So, you knew him, knew one of the coaches at St Kilda. And they were all like, hey, look, go play at Elsternwick. It's quite a place to be. And, it was a year to this weekend that I first walked up here. So this would have probably been my first training session a year ago. So,
yeah, wow. Yeah. And because you obviously played a lot against Bertsy back home as well. Was he a fierce competitor when you were playing against him? Yeah. Or were your friends off the pitch? Or
he was a great guy. Obviously, everyone loves juicing up cricketers in the opposition team. Like, it's a hobby, isn't it? Just to talk about others and how good they are. And he would get a bit of airtime. We'd blow his bubbles a bit. But we never did much one-on-one, purely because I'd bat at 10 for the ones at Wimbledon. So I was never really needed. I was very much a specialist keeper and off-field technician. So, we never had much of a rivalry.
Off-field operator.
Off-field technician. I don't think I've ever heard that. But
off-field technician.
Yeah, changing room, vibe space selection, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and do you still follow the boys back home, the Wimbledon results?
Yeah, I do. It's a bit of an addiction, isn't it? You wake up. It's quite nice though. You wake up in the morning on a Sunday in the winter and can see how they've gone, and it's pretty great.
I've wasted many a Sunday morning scrolling through the Surrey Prem, looking at Wimbledon, Guildford, Tommy Collins' team.
It's so easy. Play cricket's just great. Yeah. Play HQ. Although if you're having a bad season, I started this season and I couldn't let anyone
your meteoric rise.
Honestly, before January I had one run to my name.
Which I think was a leg by. I think I caught a run.
I couldn't let anyone look at playing cricket. We're here now, so it's all good.
Yeah, speaking of runs, back to your first game at the club, mate, because I remember that day vividly. I think it was the third 11 game against Marabal out there. Marabin on the back oval. Talk us through your innings out there.
Yeah, a few nerves. I'll really? Say that. Genuinely, because everyone's heard, is this guy used to play against Burt's, and Burt's was a bit of a club legend, kind of that. You guys, he was getting probably 30 wickets before Christmas last year. And so they're like, oh, this guy should walk in and do that. And I am not at the standard of Ollie Burt in any way, shape, or form. So I was in the threes. There's probably a bit of expectation. And fourth ball, I nicked off. And third slip, kindly dropped an absolute sitter. And from then on, I just kept getting 30 runs, then nicking off and getting dropped. And 60 and nicking off and getting dropped. Before you know it, I'm at 150, but... Yeah, I was 150 for four, so...
It was great to watch. I was quite astonished, to be honest. I've never seen someone get dropped that many times.
It was amazing.
Even in the thirds, but...
It's funny about that, Bertsy. I remember people going up to me going, oh, hey, Ollie, you might remember getting me out. Cooper Davies. Had nightmares about him.
He still does. He can't sleep. He shakes when you mention the name.
When Bertie's taken 40 wickets, so he doesn't remember who you are at Elsie. When you get rolled for 60,
No idea. But yeah, tell us about, I suppose, how you found the club coming down, and maybe some differences from back home. It is obviously a fair bit different, we've heard, from other English fellas. So.
Yeah, of course. So one of the things is when I first turned up. So firstly, you did a double training session, Tuesday, Thursday. Wimbledon, we had a pretty big Wednesday... massive session. You'd have nets, you'd have a square practice. We've got hybrid wickets there, so you can have like three middle practice going, which is pretty fun and feels quite cool. So going from one training session to two was quite a bit. And to begin with, I was a bit like, oh, that's a lot of my time given up, especially if we sometimes play Sundays here. But actually, I've loved it because it just makes it so easy to make friends when you move down to a new country. So yeah, that first summer especially, every Tuesday and Thursday we'd finish training, go for a pint. You look out there now and, well, there's 10 blokes, everyone just went, like, even Cooper Davies is off the long run now.
I'm not sure why he's bowling.
Just getting around the boys.
The crease.
So the training atmosphere is brilliant. I think when I first came down last year, we were all going for the finals, and I'm looking forward to it this year, is the on selection dinner nights. We'll probably have like 60 odd people here when it gets to all four teams getting a chance for the finals, and that sort of environment is so healthy, and really, really enjoy being part of it.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that about the selection night and finals, because I'm interested in your thoughts about the finals chances for Elsternwick this year. Now, obviously, we made the finals last year and fell short in the ones and the twos and threes.
And fours.
I think all of us made the finals. We all lost to Ormond, didn't we? All four of us. Fours won the flag, that's right.
But yeah, Ormond.
But yeah, thoughts on it this year, mate? You think Elsternwick's going to go one further?
Yeah, I think you've got to back yourself, don't you? That's exactly the mentality we've had all season. And I think we keep that in our heads. I think I love the club championship here.
Yep.
The fact that all four teams, no matter what the result, what team you're playing in, excuse me, you really, really care about it, because there's that leaderboard of all the clubs against each other. I think that's a really, really nice touch.
Yeah.
And you can just see on it, we've been gradually growing. The ones we took some time to get clicking. Obviously, a few of us had a tough first few months, and now it's all going the right way.
Not naming names.
I'm blushing a bit. But we're now going the right direction. The twos have been there, thereabouts. The threes are just awesome at the moment. Fours continue to do their thing with some absolute legends in that team. I think the club's just clicking. Everyone's happy.
Yeah,
everyone's enjoying themselves.
Good vibe. And, mate, a player you reckon is going to be pivotal for the finals race? Who do you think is the man in the first to get you over the line?
Zach's been our man this year with the bat and the ball. He's been awesome. And his leadership of just chill. He is very much about
just
the vibe.
Just
kind of, what was it? We had a semi-final on Tuesday, that T20, and I think half of us turned up less than 5 minutes before the game. He won't say a thing. We just turn up. We rolled out and knocked them off. So it's all quite fun. So I think his, just the environment he'll keep around the team, and then his performances with bat and ball especially. I don't think I started the season thinking he'd be our strike bowler quite as much as he has been. We've really relied on him in those middle overs, and he's been awesome. So he's my man.
That was an easy pick, man.
Get out of jail.
No courage at all. Yeah. I was waiting for maybe like a Jack Phillips.
That's all right. I can't boost his ties too much.
Could be anyone on that team, to be honest. Yeah. Stacked. Anyway.
Yeah,
talk us through the T20 little sequence we've had here, because obviously we have it every year, but we're never usually much good at it. I think we're usually out.
It's a two-round job.
Yeah, but this year we've won a few games. So talk us through that and what's coming up this week as well.
Yeah, it's been pretty awesome. I think I went away for 3 weeks over Christmas, and I came back and saw a message from Zach saying, "Oh, we're playing a T20 tonight. We've never won one. Let's go out and enjoy it."
Yeah.
And we were all like, "All right, let's a Tuesday night. Instead of training, we'll have a T20. And we came out, and it was against Brighton, who we'd lost to that Saturday, and we won that game. And then we were like, "Oh, we got a chance here." Mm. And then we beat Moorabbin, and then we beat Werribee.
Yeah.
And then last week, or the Tuesday just been, we've beaten
Ivanhoe,
thank you, bowling them out for 40. And all the games have just been the strangest games of cricket. We've had blokes getting knocked out. We've had bowling people out for 40. We've had people hitting sixes left, right and centre. We've had
little tyre pump job from TK. Yeah, 30 doing plenty, boys.
it's been fun, and it's been great to be a part of. I've really enjoyed it.
And we've got Hoppers.
Hoppers, yeah.
Is it home? Do we know?
It's at home next Tuesday. So bring your friends. There'll be a barbecue. There'll be beers. They beat us by one wicket on game week two this season, and we didn't have our best performance with the bat that day. So we know they've got a couple of good players, but kind of we back ourselves.
I'm pulling podcast veto as well. Training cancelled. Get on the hill, Elsenwick.
Yeah,
training's off. I've already spoken to coach. Yeah,
That's a fair thing to do.
But mate, your meteoric rise. Let's talk about that. So you started the season one run next to your name, T Cooper, dragging the feet, and all of a sudden you've returned from Bali and are bombing them everywhere. what was the secret, mate? What did you do in Bali? Mate, what did you do?
I'm not sure that's for this podcast. What happened to Bali?
PG, mate. Keep it PG.
It couldn't have got off to a worse start. All winter, Zach's like, you know what, we're gonna open with you in the one dayers, just go for an aggressive start. And I was like, yeah, I'm so up for it. And I was out first ball of the season trying to run one to gully.
That's right.
It hit my pad. It was absolutely plump. I'm like on a guilty run. I look behind me and Gully's got it. And he just like underarms it into the stumps and they call me a pommy, whatever, and tell me where to stick it. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's
it. Who was that again?
Drive over the West Gate, boys.
Yeah, exactly. I thought I needed a passport to get out there.
Back to Turek. Last half with Tommy. Real
tough. it started pretty horrendously. I went duck one and then went away for I kind of had 6 weeks of holiday between all of it, so I was just having a bit of fun.
Yeah,
and then I've come back and it's clicked, but it's been very much come back, and the less I've really thought about it, the better. So
yeah, do you reckon, like, is it no training, you reckon, does it?
I don't think I will let that become a thing at the club.
No one here, so
the head coach won't love that. Yeah. But I think my just laissez-faire, turn up, enjoy it.
Just ranch our
relaxo, mate. Did a bit of training today, did a bit of keeping.
Yeah, I saw that.
Put the sweat on.
It was unusual.
It would have been good to play T20s as well, when it generally doesn't matter as much as the one day and the 2 day. And you know, when you're hitting them well there, it's always gonna translate.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. And also, we've obviously got these new decks, which can't give away too many trade secrets, but having the kids come out since January, it is just a different game of cricket. It's exactly when you're a kid and you hear, oh, go over and play cricket in Australia, and you're expecting these big bouncy wickets, and you just don't get it. Everything really is flat, and then these wickets are suddenly popping. It's fun, it's funky, you don't quite know what's going to happen, you're getting hit left, right, and centre. Got a couple on the helmet here and there.
Yeah.
But that's what you're here for. Like, you really get into the fight.
Not on the old Elsenwick. You're hitting the knee roll at best.
Ankles are in strife.
But look, I think it's time, Maxie. Yeah. Now, I'm really excited for this. Mm. Tommy Cooper's E11. Now, for the listeners who probably haven't heard the E11 before, doesn't necessarily been the best cricketers at Elsenwick you've played with. It'd be very much a vibe pick, like Grunders says in the ones. Now, I think Coops has gone the practicality approach, he's told us prior to the pod. So, mate, I'm waiting with bated breath. I'm waiting to hear what this team is. Give us the rundown. Who's in the side?
Yeah, so I thought you said think of an 11. And I was thinking, well, what would people have done? They would have done best cricketers, loosest blokes, all of that. And I thought, let's find a new angle. Let's go kind of practicality, stuck on a desert island sort of thing. Who's my 11? I'm saying this from experience. I've had the honour of going on cricket tours to Benidorm and Ibiza. And in some of I got bumped out by Spain's opening bowler in Benidorm. I've got nightmares.
A late story.
Absolute nightmares. Yeah, again, not for this podcast. But yeah, so you need practical blokes to get you out of sticky situations, and I think I've done it. I don't know if I've actually put 11. I've just started writing names, but I'll start with opening up my head of attire. So kind of 11 blokes have to look good, and I'll start with Cooper Davies for obvious reasons.
He's a sharp dresser.
It's probably no surprise, and I'm starting up top with Coops.
is it many 11s, Coops? He's a versatile man.
Rightly so. We're all going to be out there with white, brand new, grey knit. We're going to be prestige bats. We're gonna look good. Look good, feel good, play good sort of mentality.
All the gear, no idea.
100%.
Yeah.
None of this clads.
Nah. Nah.
Blue pants, yeah. We'll look good. So he's opened up in two. Also not a surprise, I've gone Jack Phillips, who is my head of escalation. So the man just, after one beer, you know it's on. You just look at him, he's got that glint. And I need that. Yeah. He should add that to his LinkedIn. Actually, if we win on Tuesday, I'll make him do it. Yeah, it's the novelty factor of big rig. He looks at you and you know it's on. And then also, he did earlier this season get his entire kit bag locked in a locker pre-game.
Port Melbourne.
Yeah.
That's right.
And had to use pliers to get it out. So I know the big W gardening can actually get through. The gardening section can get through some metal barriers to get ticket bags out.
They bought two Bokashas for $52, Uber Eats to the ground. What are you doing, mate?
Oh, that's escalation, though, isn't it?
He's a man.
A good situation or a bad situation is escalating one way or the other. He's the man. So no, those two up top is obviously a pretty safe bet that I was going to have them up there. My number three is my head captain. So I've already mentioned him, Zaki G. Just vibes-based selection in real life, on off the pitch.
Yeah.
You need a leader, and he's going to be my leader.
Nice.
In at four. Now, this is a niche one, and I had a great conversation with this young man recently. It's Chaz. Chaz is my head of food, because what I found out is he wakes up very early in the morning to go do some fishmongering.
Yes.
I think that's just awesome.
Yes, he does.
That's true. Awesome. Yeah. And what a man. He fishmongers, football, cricket, everything. And more than anything, is that social we had recently. The minute Sweet Caroline came on, that man, he got on my shoulders, and that man gave everything I've ever seen a man give.
He took us to another level, didn't he?
He really did. Yeah. That's exactly the sort of man you want in a cricket club. Mm-hmm. Just says yes, gets involved. And yeah, he's in at four for me. He's at the engine room. Yeah. He's going to do a job.
Fishmonger. I don't think that's ever been said on the podcast.
Practical selection.
Yeah, exactly. We might need food. But the main thing is, obviously, if you have a fishmonger, you need fish. And Finn Usher comes in as... Not because he's slimy, but none of that. But because he is the chief nibbler. So obviously, Finn this season, every now and again, has got out, and he's had to do a lap of the pitch. And whenever he does a lap of the pitch, he takes his top off. And I get it. He thinks he can beat the sun. He's English. He's a bit of a rooster. Look at the man. Pumped with creatine on a hydro.
Yeah. Or water weight. Yeah. We won't get into that.
Yeah. Looks superb. But every single opposition just gives chat about the fact he's topless. My friends came to watch a game and they were like, what is going on? All that's happening is the batting team are shouting at the fielding team, you warmed up without a shirt on. Like, what sort of banter is that? Like, it's just horrendous. So he brings the fish for my fishmonger to deal with.
Very practical.
My next one is Cam. I think you need a head legend, because you need to bring in. You need someone to come save us if we are in trouble, and people flock for Cam.
Yep.
Anything. The man can do it. He gets people around him. Gets the club. We need him. My next one, actually, you'll not be surprised at this one. I'm looking opposite my next two, down at 7 and 8, I think, or maybe 8 and 9. I've stopped counting. But Menzies, you're my head storyteller because you need content. You need content. And I'll tell you what, put a beer in your hand and off we go. I've heard about Queensland. I heard about that 4X beer and some of the stuff you've done whilst drinking that.
Yep, Milton Mangoes.
Yep, thank yep. you. Yeah, I love getting in a car with you on the way to training and just hearing about your day.
Oh, I would say honoured, but I'm privileged. What a selection. I'm very pleased with this. Thank you, Coops.
You're more,
I won't let you down.
A few of the podcast listeners disagree with that selection, aren't
they? I'm on the view sides, mate. Thank you very much.
And then I'll bring it on to you, Nethers. I need a head of audiovisual content.
I'm not sure I'm the right man for the job.
You're good on the radio, you're good on the podcast, but mate, you've got a face for TV as well, let's be honest. You're a great man, so you hit the ball clean, master the pod.
I don't know if I agree with any of this, but I'll take it.
And also get us tickets if we get a big win to the F1.
or promise them and they'll give them.
Yeah, sorry about that, man. Maybe next year, mate.
It's amazing. I think I've got two more. I don't quite know. But Noah Portelli's next. He's my head of transport. And I think we all know why. For those who are listening in and weren't at the recent social, I won a scooter. And I was scooting around, and then Noah needed to use the scooter to go back to his house. It's 11 o'clock. We've had a couple of H2Os, and Noah comes back with a bit of a scar on the face because he's gone head over heels straight into the pavement, scooting 30 meters back to his house, which is amazing. So he could look after transport logistics and make sure we get everywhere safe.
Brilliant.
And the final one is head of motivation, and it shouldn't surprise you. It is the meow himself, John Cat Watkin. That speech he gave after the Mickey Edwards 186, what
something
names?
Like that, yeah.
What a man Mickey is. Mm. But just the way he gets around the boys. Do you see? You were in training a few weeks ago, and he was in the slippers. He was just doing slip catching, diving everywhere.
Yeah. I remember
I don't think Menzies would have been feeling
he ripped, Edwards to shreds and then built him back up quicker than anything I've ever seen.
He really did.
Well, Mickey was going to crap at the start of the season. Look at him now.
Yeah. Mick was on his sofa in a low place, but I brought him back up. Yeah. And I need that in my team. I need that. And I think that probably rounds up the 11. I don't know how many I've gone for there. I just don't like names down at lunch today. But
that's my favourite 11 ever.
It's definitely a different 11. Different approach. that was great. Very practical.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Gee whiz. Sorry. Who's that? Finn Usher. Sorry about that. Everyone might have to do my first bit of editing in the podcast ever to get rid of that. But no, that was unbelievable, mate. Thank you very much for that. Joel, you've put something on the run sheet here.
Yeah, let's key in that.
Yeah, look, I'm not...
I was about six little creatures down when I wrote that. And then the typing was getting a bit jittery. I was trying to fill out the cog. I didn't know we were going to have that.
What does
11.
That even mean?
I don't know.
Round one, brackets, chat. Potential player chat.
Oh, maybe it was a copy and paste job that I forgot to delete. I don't quite know.
So I guess TC got someone for like next season.
Sorry, listeners. Maybe we do the final. We wouldn't do last week's results. We're just gonna go straight to the ladder position.
Yeah, let's just do ladder because it's been a few games. Oh. TC, you're playing ones. Where are the ones placed on the ladder? Do you know?
We're in finals, I think.
Yeah, I think you're fifth or sixth.
Yeah. Yeah, we've sneaked into it and we're in the fifth. Right place, I think.
Fifth.
Nice.
And you defending 250-odd this week, is that right?
Yeah, thanks to Hugh Bennett and Rosh. They need a proper shout-out. That was. We were checking out and they did the business.
Unbelievable. Well done. Twos?
We're in fourth at the moment. We've got a little. We got a couple of teams nipping on our heels, but Lachlan Churchill, our fearless leader.
Yeah.
I've never seen a man give such a stirring address before a game than Lockie Baker.
Oh, really? Is he good like that?
Yeah. Lachlan Luther King is what I'm calling him.
Recently married too.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Recently married and was FaceTiming Michael Wood, the Melton captain.
At his wedding.
I met him on the phone. He came up and said, "Oh, how we go, boys?" Like,
yeah.
Second best thing of the day was the marriage.
Yeah.
Melton winning. The Melton win was huge for me. Yeah. But no, we're fourth at the moment. With 280 on the board.
Yeah.
So we hopefully
good chance. That. Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah, big chance.
You both have a couple of good sides coming up now. You've got Caulfield,
Oakley, and Melbourne.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah, three tough games there. On the way home. Yep.
But probably win a couple of those each and be pretty good for finals, I'd say.
Yep.
Threes, we're second. Comfortably second. I think we're pretty much locked in for finals, but we really want to finish top two. So that's a pretty big goal of ours. We've got 220-something to chase this week, so be a good little challenge out of Box Hill.
Port Melbourne seemed a team to beat.
Yeah, good side, really good team.
Yep.
So, yeah, got to finish top two. Don't want to play them.
Did you guys bowl first? Did you win the toss?
We did. I think we had eight bowlers on the weekend, and one of them was Kingston, who could only play week one. And the Box Hill pitch is not usually very good, and it was a bit different this year, to be honest. So, it was a long day, but we kind of shot ourselves in the foot by bowling so quick. I think we got through 48 overs in before tea, and then we had to go in and bat because we bowled so quick. So we kind of shot ourselves in the foot a bit. But
and let me tell you, you didn't put their hand up to go out. Max Nethercott. Send the
other go out. No, mate, I put my hand up to go and umpire because we didn't have any umpires. I was Kit was off, and I was
rich.
Boys,
I'll do
it.
Boys, not even doing anything.
But no, threes looking good.
The fours are in fourth at the moment, but we'll come home like with a wet sail,
as they always do. They've already won this ground as well, so big chance for an outright, hopefully.
They're putting fans in the stands, the fours, aren't they? Yeah, like, you know, keeping everyone entertained. Coming from fourth to win the flag is always entertaining for the spectators. So.
And the fifths are currently seventh. Looks like a couple of wins out of finals. I presume it's top four, but a few wins on the board, which is good for the fifths. We've got the women's.
The women's, yes, I will get the women's, sorry.
Jeez, Mincy's. One job, mate, seriously.
I'll take back what I was saying about the professional outfit this is, lads.
I've got the women's. So currently sitting in seventh, which there's seven teams, so not the best for the women's, but it's a tough seat. We chatted to Carmen about a couple of weeks ago.
They went up a division though, didn't
they? Yeah, obviously a lot harder this year and a few players leaving, but we covered that last episode, which got some really good feedback, by the way.
Yes,
it did.
It was a great episode. Absolutely unreal.
Yeah, we had to come back to Earth.
Before the sign-off, the how good.
Yeah.
Now, the how good for the listeners is something good in the week or over the past few weeks that really just sticks out to you.
Yep.
And Tommy Cooper, how good? Do you have one for us or do you want me to start?
After you, Menzies.
The arrival of Matty Littlechild.
Okay.
Now, Gold Coast compatriot. My story's now legitimised because he's here to back them up. But he used to play for a club called Broadbeach back home who, like, we lost, a decade against.
Yeah, right.
And he was telling me that when Broadbeach lost to us at home, it was like a morgue in the change rooms. He goes, "We don't lose to these guys." So I'm laughing my head off. But no, he's been a great addition. Lives locally, has a few beers and really gets around it.
Yeah.
And he's been a gun fielder. For really? Us at the moment.
Yeah,
taking
nice.
every catch wise, safest hands in the team, I would say. But great to have him board. How good.
Absolutely. I've got one, TC, if you don't. On the weekend, had him nine down. Henry Bennett, in a box man on the onside. Takes an absolute screamer, one-handed screamer. left hand. He caught it, and then you sort of saw the look on his face because he was meant to be opening. he's caught it, and then he's kind of. He's obviously cracked a smile, thrown it up in the air, and then he just sort of looks at me and looked a little bit frightened, to be honest. But we sent Raj in ahead of him, so he was pretty happy again. But it was an absolute screamer, so good on you, Ben.
Got a name. I've got, what would my one be? It's probably going to be around the big man, Rosh.
Yeah.
What a Saturday and Tuesday he's just come off. He nursed us to beautiful 250 alongside Hugh on Saturday. And then we've obviously got the semi-final on Tuesday. And he's come out and got a fifer in his opening spell. And it was absolutely class.
Yeah.
stayed around for a couple of beers as he does afterwards and just in top form. So I think that's a pretty special moment for T20.
I had the day off training today. Tommy's shoulders were sore. Yeah. And he was like, fair enough, Rosh.
he's been carrying us. His back.
He's a gun. What a great pickup.
Great addition to the club.
100%.
Yep.
Well, we're almost at half an hour, which is a pretty good effort. We like to keep it under half an hour. But,
yeah.
You've been awesome, Tommy. Thanks so much for coming
on. I don't know how you follow this act. Yeah. I don't know who comes on. Maybe Phillips. I don't know.
We'll
how do you follow Tom Cooper?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll chat midweek, Jolly. We'll try and get a bit more frequent to end the year.
Yeah.
Obviously, been a bit hard with the T20s on every Tuesday. So,
but actually, get down. If you are free on Tuesday, get down. Phil the Hill.
Yeah, Phil
the Hill. I believe is the free over there. Jackie Phillips as word of the sub. Training's cancelled. I'm calling it now.
Taking the day off Wednesday yet, TC?
I think there'll be a Tuesday night message. Tuesday.
I think so. Yeah. But no, awesome. Thanks for coming on, mate. We'll wrap it up and good luck, everyone, on the weekend.
Good luck on the weekend. Thanks, Tommy.
Boys.